Good morning, and if you would, turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. So this series follows the previous series, which was titled Walk. Christianity is described as a walk in numerous places in the Bible, and we looked at many of them, and we ended up talking about walking in the Spirit. And I did not touch the fruit of the Spirit in that final point, so I decided we'll just do a whole series and talk about all nine of the fruits that are listed there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And so today, we're going to talk about peace. We've talked about love last week, joy, and today, peace. I love those three. Love, joy, peace. That's what Christianity is. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, and it's many other things as well. So as we think about peace, this guy said, my therapist told me the way to achieve inner peace is to finish what I start. So far today, I have finished two bags of chips and a chocolate cake, and I feel better already. A four-year-old and a six-year-old presented their mom with a house plant. They had used with their own money to buy it, and she was thrilled. The older of them said with a sad face, there was a bouquet of flowers at the flower shop that we wanted to give you. It was really pretty, but it was way too expensive. It had a ribbon on it that said, rest in peace. And we thought it would be just perfect since you are always asking for a little peace so that you can rest. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul speaks of being under great pressure. So let's read this together. Verses 8 through 10. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, inasmuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. And so there are two categories of pressure here that Paul wants to talk about, and I want to talk about. Two basic categories out of this text. Number one, we would say heavy. Heavy pressure. Do you know anything about heavy pressure? A lot of people experience heavy pressure. It's when you lose your job. It's when a loved one dies. It's when your spouse walks out on you. Those kinds of things, that is classified as heavy pressure. And then you have light pressure. Light pressure. That's when your car breaks down. It's not heavy. It's aggravating. It's light. It's when your car breaks down. It's when maybe the bills start to pile up a little bit. Maybe your children aren't always obeying you the way that they should. And so let me ask you, how many of you are setting necks through your stress? Maybe, right? In some situations, that's the case. Some wives really need some peace. I mean, they're individuals. They have a lot of turmoil going on the inside, and if they just need peace. Their families that are just struggling, and they want peace. See, this is important, because these kind of things can rob you of peace. Hardships, difficulties, struggles can rob you of the peace that the Spirit wants to grow in your life. Remember, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. It's what He grows in our lives. It's not our fruit. It doesn't come from us. It comes from the Spirit of God. He is able to produce this type of fruit in us. You see, some try to find peace maybe in a pill. And when we feel the pressures of life, maybe we go to the doctor. Maybe we go to a pharmacist. But do we go to God? Now, I'm going to say something, and this is extremely embarrassing. Extremely embarrassing. But I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. So, several years ago, when I first found out I had Crohn's is extremely painful. And boy, when you got it, there's no peace. There's no peace at all. Anyway, so we go to the doctor, go to the hospital, and they decided that I had to be admitted because I was blocked and nothing was passing through. And when that happens, you get really, really, really sick. And so they gave me a couple of shots and they told me they had to admit me, and they did. And when I went upstairs that night, I told the nurse, I said, I really need another shot of something. I said, there's no way I can lay down in that bed and go to sleep. I can't. I am so sick. And she said, honey, we can't. We just gave you one in the ER not long ago. And I said, well, I'm not going to sleep then. And she said, but I can pray for you. And I was thinking, lady, I don't need prayer. I need drugs. That's the embarrassing part of this thing. Anyway, I let her pray for me. And I'm not kidding. Within 30 seconds of that prayer, I started violently vomiting. And when I was done, I wasn't hurting anymore. I had perfect peace. What I needed was prayer, not drugs, prayer. That's what I needed. But when you're hurting like that and you're miserable, you don't think right. You don't think straight. But that is embarrassing to talk about. In John chapters 14 through 16, Jesus is having a discussion with his disciples so that he could prepare them for what is ahead. He says, you're going to be hated for my name's sake. You're going to be persecuted. Life is going to be very, very difficult for you who follow after me. In John chapter 14, verse 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And then in verses 26 and 27, if you would turn to John 14 and look at these two verses. 26 and 27. Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We read verse 28. You have heard me say, you ought to say, I am going away and coming back. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And so here in John 14, verses 26 and 27, Jesus is promising his disciples peace in the midst of tremendous conflict. And so when he promises peace, what do you hear? No problems, no difficulties, no hardship. Is that what you hear when Jesus says, I give you peace? Because his peace is not absent of trials and difficulties and hardships. Jesus said, that's coming, but so is my peace. We can have peace in tough times. You really can. And so Jesus doesn't promise no pressure. We think of peace as the absence of problems or conflict. And so there are three ways that you can walk with the Spirit here. All right? And so let's talk about that. Number one, when the pressure is on, the Spirit is right there with you. Oh, this is important. You see, when the pressure is on, you're not alone. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus is teaching here. He says, I will not leave you alone. You will not be orphans. So, in chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says, "It's to your advantage that I go away." You see, having God with you is good, but having God in you is better. Yeah, it's better. It's much better. You see, a study of the Old and New Testaments really comes down to two simple prepositions. You know what they are? In and with. And so a lot of times when you read the Old Testament, God's Spirit was with individuals. God's Spirit was upon individuals. But in the New Testament, we see the Spirit of God lives in His people. The Spirit is a gift from God. Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so those two prepositions, what a world of difference those are. God with you and God in you. I like the idea of God being in me. You see, alone is hard. Alone is hard. And the term helper simply means one who's called aside to help. And that's what the Holy Spirit, He's our helper. He's many other things, but He helps us in life. He helps us when we're at the cemetery. He helps you when you walk out of the doctor's office having received devastating news. He's with you when you're looking at the divorce papers. He's looking at he's with you when you lose your job. You see, you need to know that in all that you go through in life, you're not alone. That God's Spirit is with us and He helps us. And in the midst of all the conflict, the difficulties, the hardship, He can still grow peace in our lives. And He will do that. I love Isaiah 26:3. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Many times we want to push God away from us when we should actually welcome him. Welcome him. We need him. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. What a great verse that is. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. This is a great verse. It's a verse worthy of memorizing. He says, "Cast all your care upon him." Why? Because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. You need to know that God cares for you. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants what's best for you. And He wants to grow peace in your life. And He knows that you go through many tough times in life. He knows sometimes life can be overwhelming. And you feel like there's no peace to be had. But there is peace in God. So when we go through life, the Holy Spirit is with us. When the pressure's on, He's there. You're never alone when the pressure's on. And that's just good to know. But secondly, He gives us a peace that is supernatural. It's supernatural. His peace surpasses all understanding. Look at Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, verses I think many of us are familiar with, many of us have memorized. But he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." So if we'll take our worry list, those things that bug us and bother us and concern us, and turn that into a prayer list, we can then experience the peace of God. As God deals with all of those things that are in our lives that are beyond our control and our power, God can handle those things. God can deal with those things. God can take care of those things for us. You see, His peace cannot, I already had it up there, His peace cannot be understood. And it guards over two areas of our lives, hearts and minds. Hearts and minds. So the Spirit of God is guarding over our mind and guarding over our heart. Those are the places where worry lies. Those are the places where struggles are entertained. And the Holy Spirit guards over those areas, and therefore we can experience His peace. And boy, do we ever need it. Our world is in turmoil right now. There are wars going on. There's conflicts everywhere. If there's anything our world needs, it's peace. If there's anything our families need, it's peace. And if there's anything that we as individuals need, man, it's peace. Just peace of mind. And in God, we have great peace. Number three, when the pressure's on, the Holy Spirit will teach you what God wants you to do. And so it's really important that we listen to God and we know how to listen to God. The church doesn't do a very good job of teaching people how to listen to God. We don't do a good job with that. We need to teach our people how to hear God. And especially when the pressure's on, when tough times come, you see, the Holy Spirit will help us. He's our helper. And if you remember in Romans chapter 8, verse 13, the Holy Spirit helps us to eradicate sin from our lives. That's one way that He helps us. And so we're struggling with sin. You can't get it out of your life. You have no way to eradicate it on your own. So the Spirit of God comes along and He takes that out of our lives. He's able to do that. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, we read there that the Holy Spirit prays for us. He prays for us. And so not only do we pray for ourselves, but we have the Holy Spirit who literally prays for us. And His prayers are nonstop, around the clock. The Holy Spirit is praying for us. And I love that idea that the Holy Spirit is praying for me. Why is that? Because I know those prayers are heard and answered. Every time. And there's not a time that they aren't. There are times when we pray that our prayer is not answered in the way that we want. But the Holy Spirit, whenever He prays, those prayers are answered exactly how He wants them to be answered. And it's good to know that. In Galatians chapter 5, as we're looking at in verses 22 and 23, the Holy Spirit grows this amazing fruit in our lives. And we reflect God's glory. And that's why Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, I'm going to turn there real quick. 1 John 2, 27, listen to this verse. John writes here, "But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true, is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him." You see, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's a helper and He's a teacher, and He teaches us. Well, when does He teach us? He teaches us when life is hard, when there are difficulties, when there are hardships, when there's no peace of mind. He teaches us what we need to do. For example, you may get into a conflict, maybe with your wife, or maybe your husband, or maybe someone at work, or maybe a church member. And maybe they come to you and they apologize and say that they're sorry. But you don't forgive. Well, the Holy Spirit will remind you that you need to forgive. And so you'll feel that impulse inside of you. You need to forgive this person. Who does that come from? It comes from the Spirit of God working inside of you, teaching you what you need to do. He teaches you forgiveness. He is a teacher. He teaches us to be thankful. To be thankful. There's so many times in our lives we just take things for granted. You know, we're not thankful. It's like the 10 lepers, when Jesus healed them, How many of them returned to give thanks? Just one. Just one. And Jesus asked, where are the nine? And so sometimes it may be that, you know, maybe nine times out of ten, when God works an amazing way in our lives, we turn and say, thank you, God. But what about the other nine? And so the Holy Spirit will teach us to be a thankful people. He will teach us to love our mates. If we're not loving our mates the way that we should, the Holy Spirit will teach us how to do that. And so the Holy Spirit is a wonderful gift from God who works in our lives to produce the fruit of peace when we need it, when life is hard, when life is difficult. You see, some of you may be saying, well, you know, I want to experience this peace you're talking about in my soul because there's turmoil, or in my home because there's conflict, or in my relationships. Well, let me tell you, it all begins with the Prince of Peace. That's where it starts. Jesus Christ, Isaiah 9 and verse 6, Jesus is said to be the Prince of Peace. In Hebrews 13, 20, God is said to be the God of peace. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 16, God is the Lord of peace. You see, it all begins with a relationship with God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace with God. How? Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. That's how we have this peace. You see, the Bible goes all, I'm going all the way back to the book of Genesis. We see God creates man. And this creature is made in the image and likeness of God. And this creature sins. And when he sins, he is separated from his God. And from that point on in the Bible, God begins to work out a plan, a scheme to bring man back into a relationship with himself. And that plan culminated in the death of his son, Jesus Christ, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And by accepting that, we're saved and we experience peace with God as we are brought together in a relationship with God. As long as there is this separation in your life due to sin, there's conflict between you and God. And you're even termed in Romans chapter 5, verse 10 as the enemy of God. That's what we are. Enemies of God when we're in sin. Peace comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You know, a lot of people, I'm going to just read something to you. And this is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, beginning at verse 1, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. You see, in our world today, a lot of people's telling you, peace, safety, everything's okay, everything's good. You don't need God, you don't need Jesus. Everything is good, it's all peace, it's all safety. And then Paul says, and then Jesus Christ descends from heaven. Then Jesus comes back. There is no peace apart from Jesus Christ. You see, destruction, Paul says, is going to fall upon all of those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There is no peace in anyone's life without Jesus Christ. You need Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, in order to have peace in your life. This morning, if we have any that need to respond to the gospel, you've never come to this God who loves you so much he gave his only son for you. You've never come to him for forgiveness. I hope today you will do that. That you will respond, that you will get up out of that pew, come forward and say, I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know this God who is the God of all peace. If that's your desire, we pray that you'll come and make it known as we sing.